Hey everyone, I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County and your host for Education Conversations, a discussion forum to share innovative and relevant thoughts, research, and ideas on education today. In this podcast, we explore ways to help prepare students to thrive. Welcome everyone to this episode of Education Conversations, Innovating Education. So this is going to be a great topic today because we've got two amazing teachers that we're going to be listening to and learning from. But just to put everything in perspective, you know, the world has been rapidly changing and so too must education. So we see a lot of teachers are actually leading that charge and they are continuing to adapt, bring innovative, creative approaches to the classroom so that they can best meet the unique needs of every student in their classroom and inspire a lifelong love of learning. It's really fun to see this in action. And so here in Sarasota County, we celebrate teachers each year through the Ignite Education Teacher of the Year Award Celebration. And we have a special category that's the Innovation Teacher of the Year. We've got two of those amazing teachers with us today, the 2023 Innovation Teacher of the Year and also the 2024, and it is Amber Rylek and Josette Ortega. And so let me just tell you a little bit about their backgrounds because they both entered the field in different ways, and man, they really came forward in applying some innovation in the classroom. So first, Josette, she left a career in law enforcement in Massachusetts and then went back to school to become a teacher. Now she's sitting here with over just about 20 years, I think, of experience in the classroom, and she currently teaches at Dreamers Academy, which is a dual language kindergarten through fifth grade charter school that's in Sarasota County, and she's actually been dubbed the Child Whisperer for her ability to reach and connect with students. And she's even written a manual for teachers called You Got This. And so we're going to learn and hear from her about that. And then we have Amber, who was really inspired by her high school soccer coach and her mentor. And she majored in health and exercise science at the College of New Jersey. And she began teaching middle school PE. And while she was taking a sabbatical to become certified in adapted physical education, she worked with teachers in New Orleans, providing in-home services to students with developmental delays. And so after earning her certificate, she moved to Sarasota, where she has been teaching at Emma E. Booker Elementary ever since. So Josette and Amber, super excited to have you both on today's podcast. Welcome to Education Conversations.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's great. And so it's always fun when we have a couple of teachers or two guests on the podcast. I don't want to go back and forth because we have so much to learn from you all. But let me just start off first by just asking the broader question. When you think about innovative teaching, because sometimes the word innovation may become overused or not completely known, what does innovative teaching mean to each of you? And so either one of you can go first. Josette, how about you?
I think for a teacher is sitting back, reflecting, resetting, and think about how you could do things different, right? Innovating means to change the normal ways of doing things. And we always hear, if you want a different outcome, you got to do something different. And that's what I've been doing in the classroom, resetting and looking at what I've been doing and seeing how I could make it better for my students.
That's great. What about you, Amber?
I think the world is ever changing. And we have to keep up with that. I strive to not get stale. If I realize I've been doing this for a while, yes, if the wheel's broke, you don't fix it. But at the same time, you should still be researching and looking what else is out there to connect with the students even, like what's going on in today's society to make it more relevant. So I think it's the continuation of learning lifelong and to push myself to continue to change.
Sounds like to me is you're also speaking about just engaging the learner to optimize what they can actually get out of the classroom. And so as the times change and it's to your point, you know, not getting stale, but also looking at how you can be so creative, Josette, that you mentioned, so that you're making that connectivity and learning come to life. So I think that's really neat. Can you give me an example of how that plays out? Amber, give us an example maybe at the, you know, Title I elementary school, you're teaching PE. Give us an example of something that you've done that you would describe as kind of innovative.
The holiday Easter had just passed in springtime. So normally I'll do an egg hunt and they have to go look for the eggs and then they come back and sort them and categorize them and count them. And honestly, I was getting bored with my lesson. I've been doing it for 3 years now. So I'm like, okay, what can I do? Start to research, start to text the other teachers. Well, third grade is learning how to measure. Okay, so inside the eggs, there's going to be different objects. The third graders have to find them and pull out a ruler and do the measurements. Kindergarten, sight words. Inside are Scrabble pieces of each of the eggs that they find. When they come back, then they have to open them and try to spell out their sight words using them. So that's just one way of what I would do in my classroom to be ever-changing and keep myself going, keep it interesting.
Well, I love how you also connect to also cross-disciplines curricular. I mean, you're a PE teacher, and yet you're also working on the students, the proficiency on their sight words. So kudos to you on that. I just think that's really, really neat. So Josette, going to you, I mean, you're working in a dual language immersion school. So how does innovation show up at your school?
First, I want to say that that's really good because that shows a lot of collaboration. And I like that the PE, even as a PE coach, how you collaborate with the teachers. That's amazing. At Dreamers Academy, we are a dual language school. So in my classroom, like, you have to be creative, especially when you're dealing with all different kinds of ages. And we're a dual language school, so now we're doing two languages. So you want to reach all your students, not just English language learners or not just the children who are learning Spanish, English, vice versa. Mm-hmm. In my classroom, for an example, the sight words, again, the high frequency words, what I do is I play a game of charades with them. And so I'll write the words, whether it's a high frequency word or a CVC word, which is like a consonant, vowel, consonant word. And I'll just put it over my head. And I'll pick a student. I'll say, okay, you read it, but you can't tell me what it is. Miss Ortega doesn't know. You have to act it out. And so if I come to a student that I know is not going to be able to read it, I said, okay, now you pick a friend, and the friend is going to whisper the word, and then you have to act it out. So the kids are engaging. They're learning. They're collaborating as students and as peers. And it's a fun way for them to learn.
Hearing your innovation right now, have you always applied that same kind of approach, or has that evolved over time as you've been in the classroom longer?
It's definitely changed over the years. You start off as basic, you know, the foundation. As you continue to go year after year, you need to make it more difficult for myself, even zone of proximal development. Like, I need that challenge to make it one step further. So it progresses and continues changing. So like I said, with the Easter eggs, for example, it keeps changing. Okay, well, the kids get this now, all right? They need to be pushed a little bit further. So you continue to think outside the box. Or, this isn't working, like you said, sometimes. What are we going to do? Okay, sit back and reflect. What can I change? You know, seek out your mentors and see, like, what's working for them and whatnot.
That's great. What about you, Josette?
That's great, Amber. I love listening to her. She's got some great ideas. This is great. Yes, like I would agree with her, it evolves. As you continue teaching and you see your years of experience brings more knowledge and more wisdom, and you surround yourself with people that can build you up, who can mentor you, who could give you sound advice in the classroom. And that's what I found that I've done. And that's why I think I'm very creative in the classroom, because I do seek out people to give me advice. If things are not working right, how can I make them better? And as time changes, the children changes, the generation changes, culture changes. And like as the example, as the sight words, again, with the charades, if it's getting too easy, we're going to go ahead and switch it up and we're going to do one lesson all in Spanish. If you're in my class in English, but I'm going to be like, okay, today we're going to do Spanish just to see what you guys have learned in Spanish class. Let me help support my other teacher. My co-teacher who's actually teaching the Spanish. So that's also, you know, the collaboration when that comes in. I think just with time, you grow and you change and you mature as a teacher, because what didn't work for you your first year teaching might work for you your fifth year of teaching.
Yeah, and you probably are even more confident as a teacher, I would venture to think. But you both of you commented on something that I think is really neat, and that's the innovation linkage to collaboration. And both of y'all kind of mentioned that, whether it's through mentors or other people. So where does that show up to where you can actually be learning and being creative and using that through the collaboration of others? I mean, are you seeing that at your school? Are you seeing it across the district? Like, where are you finding these mentors and your source of ideations and the partners that you're referencing?
The Emma family, I like to call it, is very close and so supportive. So Miss Major Huntley, reach out to her. There's always a few people that you feel really comfortable with, like, you know, I'm having a hard day. You need to be uplifted. So working in an environment where you have that is incredible. And then I also go towards my where a student taught. I texted them the other day. I'm doing field day. I need your help. What did you do? It's been a while since COVID. My college professor, actually, she just wrote a book, Movement and Jumping. So I'm trying to reach out to her. Okay, where were you going with this idea? How can I incorporate now literacy and physical education? You need that family and support as a teacher, I think, because otherwise you're solo out there. You need help, and we should be lifting each other up. So I feel very supported.
Yes, I totally agree with that. That support system is very important for all of us. For myself, it's the school also. I have a couple go-to people that I go to. And I have this model that iron sharpens iron, right? So I connect with people who I know are going to make me a better teacher, more effective teacher. I come from a family of teachers. My mom is a retired teacher. My two sisters are teachers in Orange County. And I've taught for so many years. So I'm always looking for other teachers. Say, okay, well, how are you doing it in your class? Because over here in Sarasota, this is how we do it. Let's compare notes. How can I do better? Or how can I teach you to do better? I have a cousin who lives in California, Dr. Towns, who's my co-author in the book that we've written. And she actually teaches child development. So she's always keeping up to date with the latest child development that's happening. So I'm always calling her, okay, did anything new come out that I need to know about how to approach a certain situation? So staying connected with people who can encourage you and teach you, I think is very important.
And to piggyback off of that, encourage you and teach you, the Education Foundation, the support that you guys give us alone.
Yes.
And the monetary gift helped go to so many supplies for school, and just it gave you that, okay, my hard work is noticed too, yes. You know, because some days are tough. And it's nice to also have that.
I appreciate yes. you saying that.
It's big time.
Well, thank y'all. And what I would just say to anyone listening is just hearing the teachers, you all are truly the inspiration behind all of this. But I agree with you that sometimes it's even non-monetary, but just giving the recognition and the elevation of the role, I think is really important. But really, you all should be commended, because what you're also demonstrating is a continuous heart for learning, a lifelong love of learning. I mean, as you're referencing all the different resources that you're tapping into. And so let's just go back to then to, you know, how have students changed, and what are you seeing in terms of, you walk into whether it's Emma E. Booker or you walk into Dreamers Academy, how are the kids actually showing up today? What are you seeing, and why is it so important that you're actually applying these kind of innovative principles in your teaching?
Children come in to our schools and into our classrooms from all walks of life. So it's important as a teacher, as an educator, to understand that before you could even execute a lesson plan. You have to look at all the elements of the child. It's not every child is the same. They don't all learn the same. So to be an innovative teacher, you have to really think about how you are going to transform the lives of these children with them helping you and understanding where they come from, how they're coming into the classroom. You could have this wonderful lesson plan. Amber could have this wonderful PE activity. And if you have that student that's coming in who didn't sleep at night, who didn't eat breakfast in the morning, you have to be like, okay, it's time to tweak it. We need to get involved. And maybe this lesson, I have to save it for another day. But at the end of the day, it's always important that you reach every child where they're at, because not every child learns the same. So you can't go in and give a standard lesson with the expectation that everybody is going to get it, because then you're not going to accomplish the goal of the child understanding the concept. Mm-hmm. So as an innovative teacher, every night I will go home and I would think about, what am I doing tomorrow? If they come in hungry, am I going to have a backup snack ready just in case they didn't get breakfast? If they don't understand 1 + 1, do I have to do a dance of 1 + 1? If they didn't understand a high frequency word, do I need to take out crayons and do they need to do a rainbow? What is it that I need to reach every student? Because at the end of the day, that's my goal, that every student understands what I'm trying to teach them.
That's wonderful.
You're incredible. They're real. And you're so right. They come in sometimes. They're hungry. That's why they're upset. And you have to figure out, okay, plan B. What are we going to do here to make the lesson work? I think from when I first started teaching at Emma, I loved that there was really no structure first. It was a clean slate to come in. It was really hard because they were used to just having free time and recess. So I started to make really structured and lessons and whatnot. And now I teach these kids from kindergarten through fifth grade. And now I coach them as I see them in middle school. And their attitude and sportsmanship and teamwork has totally changed the school environment, I would say. Like,
awesome.
Before, there were so many fights at recess. It was terrible. Now, I look over, they're working together in a team to volley volleyball and calling it out and coaching each other. So that has changed the environment completely and provided them with the skills as they get older. How do you communicate with others? When things don't go your way, how do you react? And then seeing them in middle school, the kids that we've coached and whatnot, see them handle a loss. It's okay, we try, versus other schools and environments that don't necessarily have that. So it's really neat to see them just grow individually from kindergarten all the way through and see that now we can challenge them with more difficult sports too, that they can handle the competition because now it's not going to be an all-out feud if something goes wrong.
I like that. I like that you said the structure, because that's important even in a classroom. So the structure there, they know the expectation and you have held them accountable for that expectation. And that's why you're getting the results, because the expectation's there, the boundaries are there, and now they're enjoying it. And that flows right into the classroom. When you set that standard in that classroom and you set those expectations, the children will thrive and they will grow. And they'll be like, oh my goodness, I know the word. Yes, because you understood the expectation. We're going to come in here. This is the goal for today, A, B, C, and D, and this is what we're going to do. Children love boundaries, and when they get those boundaries in that classroom, they have no choice but to thrive. And I love that you say that, because now they know how to play. They know how to collaborate because you set that boundary and you set that structure. And I think that's so important in a classroom, to set that structure. In a lot of schools, that is where the lack is. And that's where a lot of confusion and disorganization is happening, because a lot of teachers do have those children that are challenging, right? So now we have to figure out, how are we going to set those boundaries and that structure and also teach?
Well, I think that brings us to a great follow-up question, in that I think it ties to the book, the manual that you actually created. You got this, because it speaks about a systematic approach. And so it sounds like what you just described is what you're guiding people in the book. But is there anything more that you can kind of elaborate on this magnificent publication that you've done?
The book was written by teachers for teachers. As a teacher, any teacher in education, they don't want to sit down and be reading long books on how to deal with challenging behaviors in a classroom. As an educator, I know that. So I created a simple manual, and it's a go-to manual for teachers, and it gives them like a guideline on a behavior. Like, he doesn't like to sit in his seat, he's always running around, just as an example. And in that book, I give them tactics on how to approach the situation. This first, you should do this. Second, you should do this. So it's 7 tactics in the book to deal with different challenging behaviors. And I know they're effective. So that's why I actually made the book. I'm like, this could be helpful to a teacher who may be a first year teacher. Like, I can't get this kid to sit down, or what is happening? The book was based on one of my students that I had. I want to say it has been like 10 years ago. And he was very challenging. He almost got kicked out of school in first grade. And so that's where my journey began with him. And something as simple as a student, he was refusing to do work. So he would break all the pencils and rip all the papers. And I would be like, okay. I would go home. I was very upset. I would cry. I'm like, I have to reach this student. And then I would forget about the other 18. So I had to regroup and say, okay, I'm going to go back and now I'm going to teach the 18, give him what he needs to maintain him. And little by little, he started coming around. Okay, she's not acknowledging my bad behavior, but I am going to listen to what she's saying. And every time he broke a pencil, I'll be like, okay, here's another pencil. Okay, here's another pencil. And I would prepare. Okay, he's going to rip these papers. I would make like 50 copies. You rip it? Okay, thank you. Okay, there you go. And when he knew I wasn't giving up, he was like, okay, let me start doing my work. So being consistent is also another tactic that I have. Being consistent, building with parent relationship is huge.
Yeah.
For students to succeed in education, you need that collaboration also with the parents.
So, well, can anyone find your book or manual? Is it available? Is it on Amazon? Like, where would someone be able to?
I have all the books now on person, so if they need it, they can call.
Okay, the Education Foundation and
or Dreamers Academy. I've had a lot of people reach out to Dreamers Academy. It will be going on Amazon within the next month. I've done workshops for the ASCD in California. Here in Orlando, teachers are hungry for it because what happens is even in middle school or elementary, we have a lot of behaviors. These kids are coming from all walks of life. In order for these kids to be educated, we need to first contain the behavior and meet them where they're at.
Yeah.
And so in the book, it gives you 7 tactics on how to be able to accomplish that in a classroom and not go home frustrated, defeated, and crying, because that's happening in education, right? Because we're getting kids from all over, and now we have state mandates and the pressure. And so how can we make teachers not more comfortable, but be able to be like, okay, I can do this. You got this. And know that there's other teachers going through the same things, right? We're all going through the same things at different times, but knowing, okay, I can call Amber. Listen, give me an activity I could do in my class, like something fun, because I might not be that fun teacher. Or she could call me and say, listen, I'm doing this lesson. What are you doing in your class? Maybe I could implement numbers and hula hoops and jumping and squats or whatever. So it's all about collaboration and teachers knowing that they're not alone out there.
Well, I really like the title of your book, You Got This, which leads me actually to Amber, something you're vying for right now, and that's America's Favorite Teacher. You are in the running for this. Yeah, they just did a high five. You can't see it, but they're celebrating here. So tell us about how that came about, and most importantly, how will it impact your students?
Well, first, I need your book, by the way, before you leave.
Absolutely.
Please do. America's Favorite Teacher, it just popped up on social media or something, and the winner gets $25,000.
Wow.
And a trip to Hawaii, which would be really nice. But overall, the $25,000 will go straight to Emmy Booker.
Look at that.
Awesome.
And so just thinking about what we can do with those funds, field trips, and it's endless. So
that's incredible. So if somebody wanted to vote for you as America's favorite teacher, where do they go? Listen to this on the podcast. We're going to get that. We're going to follow up with an Instagram, social media post. We're going to send the links. I know we've been posting it already. We'll do it again because, folks, we want you all to vote for Amber because she's representing a whole school body, Emma E. Booker Elementary, K-5, and $25,000 would certainly
That's
go a long
awesome.
Way. That's great. Well, you guys have really shared some great things, not only practical tips, but really enduring traits of what makes great teachers. And so I really kudos to both of you for what you
Thank
do every
you.
Day in the classroom, what you give back, and for representing us so well in our community. These kids are in good hands because of you all. So really appreciate both Josette Ortega and Amber Rylek being a part of our podcast today. And if you want to learn more about creativity and why innovation in education is important, it's actually part of the Education Foundation's mission statement. We do care a lot about that. So just visit our website at edfoundationsrq.org, and we always welcome teachers and community members and even students to get involved in our work. So everyone,
Awesome. Yeah,
it's really good stuff. I so appreciate both of y'all so much. So listeners, thank you for tuning in to today's episode, and be sure to listen to our other episodes of Education Conversations. For now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.